Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
The Major Spoilers Podcast covers news, reviews, and of course, spoilers, and goes into details about the topics discussed. So if you haven't read, listened, or watched the items we talk about, you might want to come back later.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Rodrigo.
And I'm Steven, and you're listening to the Major Spoilers Podcast, the podcast for pop culture and comic fans.
In this issue, we got ghosts to be busted, werewolves on the prowl, a Spider-Man, a labyrinth, and a massive dose of October theming. Ooh, are you ready to face the horrors ahead? If not, it's cool. Rodrigo has Netflix and a secret stash of lacrosse. So turn down the lights, turn up the smoke machine, and for God's sake, don't leave Randall in charge of the entertainment. Because the Major Spoilers Podcast is on the air.
Welcome to issue 999 of the Major Spoilers Podcast. Thank you
Mark
so much down
for downloading. From 1050.
Thank you for joining us and checking us out this week. We're so happy that you're here. Sorry about last week. I came down with the something post-vaccine, post-getting a needle in my arm. Both myself and the youngest both came down with the crud after getting a vaccine shot. Not saying vaccines are bad. Do go get your flu shots. They do help. But we were not feeling well enough on Tuesday to do a show, so I apologize for that. We should be celebrating our 1,000th episode this week, but we're going to save that for next week. We're going to bring in Scott Johnson for that and have a lot of fun. In the meantime, what we would have discussed last week, we'll be discussing this week. So we've got some Ghostbusters action coming up later in the show. But I thought we'd spend the first segment talking about the Marvel special Werewolf by Night. That they released. It's a one-hour show on Disney Plus. And I guess my initial reaction was I went into it with very little expectations, and I came out of it really, really enjoying that special a lot. The one-hour movie a lot. What did you think, Rodrigo? Are you a fan of the Jack Russell?
So I do like Werewolf by Night. Enough. We've read the oldest version of it on the show, and they've tried to revive the character a few times, and I've picked some of those up. I'm Werewolf by Night is cool. I kind of had a similar experience to you, Steven, where I didn't really know what to expect, but while I was watching it, I was like, what does this remind me of? And it obviously, there's lots of like Universal Monsters stuff. There's lots of, black and white monster movie references and things like that. But really, as I was watching it, what it reminded me of is early MCU stuff, like MCU stuff that has room to stretch out, room to leave things vague.
Plant the seeds for future project stuff.
Yeah. One of the things that I enjoyed about it is that, it itself had no direct impact, nor did anything else really have direct impact. No prior work seemed to have, strong direct impact on it. So it was like, here's a corner of the Marvel Universe that is unexplored and that where characters are allowed to grow, and you don't have to, explain why X, Y, or Z is happening. It can just happen.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about a snap. You don't have to worry about trying to explain Thanos or anything like that. It's just, let's have some monster horror fun in this oldie timey style, which is interesting that you mentioned the Universal monsters, because, that is, I think, the vibe that they're going for. And certainly shooting it in black and white does harken back to the old Universal monsters. At the same time, Netflix released the Munsters television movie, the Rob Zombie thing.
Monsters.
Which it's not very good, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to tell you that.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
bummer.
Is Rob Zombie? Does Rob Zombie's wife play Morticia?
I don't remember. Maybe.
What is her name?
I'd have to go.
Her name is like
Mrs. Zombie.
Is like Mrs. Moon Zombie or something,
Like
that.
Zombie. Here's the thing: when they were trying to do the Munsters, they had to get permission from Universal to do that Rob Zombie movie. And Universal says, you can only do the Munsters movie if you don't do it. We will not give you the rights if you want to do it in black and white. And so that's why the colors in that movie are shifted all the way into the hyper extreme, which in hindsight kind of hurts the movie. But it's interesting that I think the Munsters movie would be a lot better had it been in black and white. And I think that this show, Werewolf by Night, did a very good job of using black and white to its advantage. Although the little bits of here's a little red thing and then everything turning color at the end was kind of annoying and distracting.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I don't know. What do you think that meant?
I think that meant it's like, okay, guys, we're this was a one-time thing. We're not doing it again. Okay, now that the show's over, we're going to bring color back. Okay, it was only in black and white because we thought it would be cool. So you don't have to worry. Next time you see these characters, they'll be in color.
I guess that's
what I felt the movie was, or the special was telling me.
I guess I can see that too. It's like, hey, we had our monster fun. The next time that you see Jack Russell, he will be in color and he'll be fighting alongside Blade and Moon Knight and She-Hulk.
See, it kind of felt to me like,
and oh, Howard the Duck will be here eventually.
Oh, I'm sure Howard the Duck's already showed up like three times. I feel like it felt to me like the transition between Jack's story and Elsa's story, because this was, you know, this was a short hour of, hey, we're thrown into the middle of the life of Jack and Ted. But as it ends, Elsa Bloodstone has finally, you know, taken up her father's mantle. She has the power of the Bloodstone, blah, 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 blah. And as she takes command of the Bloodstone, you know, everything comes back to the world. So it's no longer Jack's story. It's now, hey, this is going to be something entirely different and we're just going to finish. But yeah, I don't know.
Do you think we're missing?
I will tell you this.
Okay, go ahead.
I never knew it until I watched this, and I watched it literally with my whole family. And there are four responses in my family to something from the Marvel. With me, it's like, yeah, okay. And then, you know, we have people who are like, hey, this is good. And we have people who are like, is this going to be good? And then we have the child, and they were like, is this going to suck? I'm like, I don't think it's going to suck. Fine. So we sit down, and about 5 minutes in, the kid turns to me and they're like, this is good. I like this.
Yeah.
And I think we got to the end and I'm like, I didn't realize what I needed all my life was the sight of the man thing laughing.
Yeah. And so that, I think, was the thing that was most shocking for me in this is when, you know, this giant arm reaches out and grabs Jack Russell from the branch and it's revealed that it's Ted the man thing. Mm-hmm. At first I was like, oh, this is really cool. This is the monster that they got to be hunting and it's man thing. This is going to be really cool. We did get to see him do his burn your soul action in this. Right. I was kind of hoping we would have actually gotten him to say some words, but that's fine. The way that
man
they handled it.
Speak.
The thing that really intrigued me though was, and this again, watching the movie as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, is man thing completely CGI? Because there's shots in here, like when they grab him out of the bushes, it's like, well, that could be a practical arm. And my guess is that they probably use that practical arm at the end of the movie where they're sitting down and having tea the next morning. And you're doing an OTS and over the shoulder shot of man thing to Jack. And I was like, that's probably the same prop arm, but I'm pretty sure everything else was CGI. And then I was like, this is going to bother me. I need to go and do my research, and found out that no, there's a real person inside a life-size man thing costume.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow, that's
only,
great.
There are CGI enhancements, like the flowers growing on him. And I think some of the face, like the eyes stuff is some CGI enhancement.
I felt like that running scene might have had some CGI.
Yeah, no, that was a real person running in that thing. And apparently they had to get this big, beefy, like, because the costume is super heavy. They had to get some beefy linebacker guy to wear the suit because it was just so heavy to do stuff in. And I was like, wow, I got to give them props for taking a concept of these universal monsters. And again, we shouldn't say universal monsters, but we're using that as the touchstone for everybody to get into it. And then doing it like you would have done an old 1950s B horror movie where you don't need to see Lon Chaney change into the Wolfman, but we can show off screen his shadow changing into the Wolfman, and we can put a man in a monster suit, and we can have a creepy animatronic mummy pop out of the coffin and welcome everybody to the contest. And it works really well.
It had cigarette burns.
Yeah.
To let the non-existent projectionist know when to change the non-existent reel.
Yes, exactly.
And I pointed that out to my kid, and they're like, what? And so I had to stop the film and explain what now, they were and how it used to work. And it was like,
you need to go back. I need to go back because I knew that those were added in. I saw them that they were added in. I need to go back and see if those were done every 10 minutes or if they were done at every 20 minutes, because it depends on.
I caught them at least three times.
Oh, so that'd be like every 20 minutes then.
Yeah. Or it's 15, like, what is it? A 55-minute film? So
what type of how long the reels?
Yeah, because the original reels were like 10 minutes long. That's why it was, you know, a 10-minute short. And then things got a little bit longer to 20 minutes, and then today, I mean, most obviously were digital projection in most theaters, but when I was in college, dating a girl who was one of the managers at the Fox Theater, we didn't have switching between projectors. It was all spliced together into a big giant film that sat on a platter, just out in the open. And it would play through that way. So there weren't any burn marks by the 90s. So you can kind of use that as kind of a touchstone for what period they're trying to replicate there. But I don't know, guys, I was very impressed.
Hammer horror to me. Yes.
I was very impressed with Werewolf by Night. And if you haven't seen this by now, we are approaching the spooky night. There's still time to watch it. And if you're not doing anything on Halloween or Halloween Eve, I might say watch this.
Yes, I loved this. We had 100%. Very rare that we get 100% buy-in. Everybody got to the end of Werewolf by Night, and everybody was just thrilled. And then I told the kid, there aren't another 8 episodes. And there was cheering. Because they're apparently tired of, well, She-Hulk started really great and then this happened. Or, you know, I couldn't figure out what was going on with Bucky, so I, you know, tuned out an hour.
She-Hulk was fantastic.
She-Hulk was fantastic, especially
start to ending. Start to ending. Yeah. Just fantastic.
Love
Andor.
She-Hulk.
Andor. I know some people watched the first episode and were out of it. My youngest, who loves Star Wars, watched the first episode and he's like, I don't want to watch this show anymore. And it's like, buddy, you missed out, because this is every three episodes is a story. He liked Rogue One. He really enjoyed that as well. So this is Star Wars that I like, is Andor. So get on that, people. Let's see more of that. And it's well thought out. It's well executed. That's very good. Rodrigo, did you watch the She-Hulk?
I did.
Did you like it?
I did. The kind of the only thing I didn't like about it is that in executing their masterful ending, they kind of didn't actually give us an ending with like the characters like talking it out or whatever. It's just like, oh, let's just skip to like everything's fine now.
Yeah.
Which is fine because they spent all that time basically roasting themselves.
Yes. And I would make the argument that if you go back with that in last episode in mind, that the entire series is a commentary on superhero movies, just in general.
Yes.
That
and
it's
Marvel
a,
specifically.
Yeah, and Marvel specifically. Yeah. But just from the very beginning, even though she's like, oh, this is the part where people online are going to complain about this, right? That is just this whole commentary that's running it. It's like a Movies with Mikey stuff that you might see on YouTube, or one of those long, you know, 2-hour-long discussions about what is Watchmen really mean in this day and age kind of things. That's what this TV series kind of felt like in the end was, we're aware, and now we're going to provide our own commentary on this. So I like that.
I didn't click on any of it, but I've seen some stuff come out of that was like, it's like new theory, like it's Kevin that brings Kang the Conqueror into the Marvel universe.
Oh, well,
and I'm like, guys,
they might want to watch a little show called Loki, and they might want to watch a little thing called Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
The Quantumania trailer.
Because that trailer reveals all.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. I've liked both Ant-Man movies, mm-hmm. Probably more than most people, because I feel like people are like, yeah, you know, like the good movies, like Iron Man and Spider-Man Far From Home, and the bad ones, like Thor, Love and Thunder, and all the Ant-Man stuff. And I'm like, what?
Love and Thunder's great.
Yeah.
What? Fine. Love and Thunder is... Oh, I'm going to be mad now.
It's got a female Thor in it. That's why.
I know, but Love and Thunder is great. What's that
it
other
is.
One? That
I really enjoyed it.
It was really great. There was a really great one.
Ragnarok?
Yeah, no, it wasn't that one.
Another Thor movie that was really great. Ragnarok.
Thor movie.
No, Thor was good. I'm talking about a movie that was not a Thor, a Marvel movie that everybody is down on. That I'm like, are you crazy? This is amazing because you suck.
Probably the Captain America television show. People weren't super thrilled with that one.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was fine. Mm-hmm. I think it didn't stick the ending where it should.
There's so much Marvel right now. I literally can't for the life of me remember it all.
I haven't watched. Yeah. I've watched two of the Groot shorts, and that's it. So there you go. And now we've got a Christmas special coming up featuring Kevin Bacon, now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Bill Murray, now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Footloose.
If you haven't watched that Christmas special trailer, you need to watch it because it is good.
Is he kind of cut loose?
He's cutting loose as he's running down the street screaming.
Okay. He's like, he's trying to get away from Drax.
Yeah, and what's her name?
Mantis.
Mantis, yeah. Dear listeners, you can join the conversation about these stories and more over on our Discord server. I know there's been a lot of talk about Andor and Werewolf by Night and She-Hulk and all that stuff. If you want to get in on the conversation, then join our Discord server for free. Doesn't cost you anything. There is a link in the show notes. We would love to see you join our growing community of awesome spoilerites. And everybody over there is awesome. In fact, we have a channel called Finally Friday. And it's kind of I don't want to say it's the lead in to our Finally Friday live stream that we do Fridays live at 4:30 p.m. on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/majorspoilers. But we have done an Ask Me Anything Fridays in the past where people can use that to ask any question that they want in addition to asking live. But this upcoming Friday, we've been doing, this will be the third time that we have done a One Question Friday where someone asks a question and then we spend all Friday show talking about that question in depth instead of spending, you know, just a couple of minutes on it. We will do a whole in-depth deep dive on somebody's question. And it's been really, really good. And if you would like to have your question thrown into the ring or into the hat or into the pot or wherever you're supposed to throw your questions, well, the place you can throw them is over in the Finally Friday channel on our Discord server, completely free. And then tune into Finally Friday, 4:30 p.m. Central Time on twitch.tv/majorspoilers. And we'll talk about them this week. So there is that. And then, of course, there's all the other cool channels. Rodrigo jumped into, what was it, the RPG channel? Or what was the channel you were in the other day, Rodrigo, where people were like, I thought this was a thing. And you were like, yes, blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. That seems like anytime I'm in that Discord. Was I talking about Marvel Snap?
Oh, yes. That's what you were talking about.
Yeah. People were like, what's it like? And I'm like, it's like a very aggressive game of Smash Up.
Yes. And I like that. I like that a lot. So go check that out, ladies and gentlemen. Go check it out right now. It's totally free. I mean, this podcast you're listening to right now for free.
Free.
Discord for free. The majorspoilers.com website for free. How many other sites out there are doing as much for you for free?
None. That's
none.
All, Benny.
I don't think they are. No, I don't think they are.
Suck. You can't count government sites because you pay taxes.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. You pay taxes. Anyway, let's do some comic book reviews. I'm going to go back a couple of weeks. I'm going to go back last week. The book I would have reviewed last week had I been here, not hacking up a lung and going, I feel so achy. I would have been talking about Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man number one from Taboo and B. Earl and Juan Friera, out from Marvel Comics last week. This is Spider-Man, Peter Parker, going to the West Coast, to Los Angeles, to do some work on sound and dreams and trying to help people with this. He's working with somebody, and they may be part of the plot. Who knows? But all along the storyline, he keeps flashing into, like, this dream state where things are weird and creepy. And I will say this. At the end of the book, there is a giant demon bear that shows up maybe more than a couple of times in the book. I don't know if this is the demon bear from the demon bear saga over at the X-Mutants, but the way that they draw the demon bear in this issue and the way that they draw the scary art in this issue really makes me feel like we're getting Spider-Man's demon bear story. And I want to see if that continues. This is an interesting book. At first I was just like, okay, so Peter Parker's dreaming. There's really no impact here. We probably know who the bad guy is. There's lots of jokes about Los Angeles being spread out and New York being very small and tight together, which makes it hard for Spider-Man to travel across the city of Los Angeles. That's funny. You know, there's some real science stuff. I mean, I don't know if it's real science, but there's definitely some science stuff that's being talked about and how Peter's trying to use his brains for good. But then the whole creepy nightmare stuff I find fascinating. And yeah, I think X-Men fans might enjoy this book. I'm going to give it 4 slices of meatloaf. It's been a week. And so it's phased on me just a little bit, but if they're doing the Demon Bear, is that what it's called? The Demon Bear Saga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Demon Bear Saga. New Mutants, what, 18 through 21?
Oh yeah. And I think I said X-Mutants. Yeah. New Mutants is what I meant.
Everybody knew what you meant. Nobody, you know, we don't expect you to get the names right.
If I expected to get all the names right, we'd never get anywhere. But yeah, Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man, I think it's a good kickoff issue for the spooky season. It did come out October 19th. I kind of hope, and I think this is only a 5-issue miniseries, I kind of wish that they would have done kind of like what IDW does or did before they lost the Star Wars property. Thanks, Marvel. Thanks. Where they were doing the spooky season weekly Star Wars books, you know, like every week is a new Vader's Castle issue that would come out. I kind of wish they would have done this with Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man, had this start like the week before October with this issue. And then every week you get the next chapter until you get to the big climax, the week of the 31st. And I think that would have been a really cool way to tell this story. I think it's still fascinating. I think it's still interesting. And certainly seeing Spider-Man not in New York, seeing Spider-Man not in space, seeing him in another real city is interesting. And I like this one. So 4 slices of meatloaf for Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which came out last week. A book that I'm very excited about, though, Matthew, is The Human Target number 8. Now, Human Target number 7 came out about a month ago. That issue was fantastic as we kind of figured out maybe who was the person that poisoned Christopher Chance. But we've still got like 4 issues to go, and issue 8 dropped today.
Yep. So Christopher Chance, a.k.a. the Human Target, has been poisoned by someone who thought they were poisoning Lex Luthor. Since then, he has been involved in a mystery involving the Justice League International. Issue 8, written by Tom King, drawn by Greg Smallwood. Greg Smallwood is an American treasure.
Oh, man, this art in this series is fantastic.
Let me just start out by saying Stephen is right. The art is in freaking credible. Every page, every panel, every issue is wonderful. And this one opens with, once again, Christopher Chance waking up with ice. And if you've been
ice, base the character, not ice like from your ice chest.
No, literally ice. Tora Olof's daughter. Or ICE of the Justice League International. Last issue, he had some interactions with her best friend, Fire, who now trusts him. And the issue before, they may have possibly murdered Guy Gardner.
Yeah, that was the big cliffhanger back in issue 6.
That was a huge schmageggy.
Yeah.
Was that 5 or was that 6?
I think it was 5 because he came at, you know, Guy Gardner has been super jealous that ICE and Chris Chance have hooked up with each other. And he comes in one day doing all of his bully stuff, and he's about to kill Chris, Human Target. And ICE freezes him, and then Chris smashes him with a baseball bat or something and shatters him into a million pieces, and they're like, we're going to have to hide the body.
Yes. This issue opens with someone firing through the door of the room and shooting at them, and Chris pulling out his gun and shooting back, only to have it bounce off the armor of Rocket Red of the Justice League International. Rocket Red, of course, if you may remember, back in the day was the Glasnost warrior. He is Russian, and his English is part of the fun. So Chance is getting ready to shoot him again. He's like, I am just putting new coat of paint on armor. I am hoping you will not be scratching it. It's very hard work. And of course he shoots him. And then Chance wakes up several hours later and realizes that he's been drugged and that Rocket Red would like to talk to him about the whereabouts of Guy Gardner.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. And Rocket Red has, he may speak English as second language. He's no dummy. And he explains that he knows that Guy didn't leave the country. He knows that Guy is missing. He knows that Guy was mad at Chance for canoodling with his girl. And he knows that no one has seen Guy since Guy went to mess with Chance. And they keep having this discussion, and Rocket Red keeps knocking him out. First, he punches him in the face and knocks him out. Then he electrocutes him and he knocks him out. And throughout the issue, we keep having this time jump. And every time Chance wakes up completely outmatched by this armored madman, he's like, what time is it? Because, again, he only has, you know, 4 more days to live. By the end of the issue, some things happen that I'm not going to spoiler. But the one thing that does happen that's wonderful is Chance gets mad at this crazy superhuman because he's about to die. He only has a few days to live. He wants to spend them with Ice, and this guy wasted a whole day. And if you are crazy enough to try to attack an armored Russian, basically Napoleon tried that in the 30s, and it did not go well for him, but has a perfect, beautiful ending. Such a gorgeous comic. I am going to go with, not unexpectedly, 5 slices of meatloaf for this book.
A good series.
This is not only a good series, it's a series that manages to have completely down, like completely grounded human moments in just smack dab in the middle of the craziest part of the DC universe.
Yeah.
This is literally about a guy going to another guy and saying, look, I know you're sleeping with my friend's girl. My friend is missing. What's going on? And if you take out all of the armor and the crazy, you know, ice fairy powers and the fact that Chance's job is literally putting on a magic latex mask and pretending to be other people, I mean, this could be an episode of The Wire. This could be an episode of The Shield. But then they manage to take it up a notch, keep those stakes, keep that personalized grounding, and make it a superhero story set, you know, in the DC universe where, you know, Booster Gold came back from the future and Ted Kord was dead, but now he's not. And yes,
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Tom King is a very divisive writer over at DC Comics. He did Strange Adventures, which people had a lot of problems with. He did Heroes in Crisis, which flipped people out.
Which was just an awful, awful series, and he should feel bad.
I don't know if he does. I don't think he does. But here's the thing. He also did Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is his take on True Grit. So if you like True Grit, the Western, then you need to read Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And if you've never seen the movie DOA, either version, Dennis Quaid version or the newer or older remakes, then welcome to Human Target. That's what Human Target is DOA. And I really like that he's taking those different stories and kind of tweaking them and putting them into these superhero genre stories. And it works really, really well.
It's well done stuff. I mean, I hated Heroes in Crisis like a passion.
Yes.
And this book is so wonderful. It's great.
Yeah. 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 All right. Thank you for that, Matthew Rodrigo. Let us jump forward to next week. So look, we've covered 3 weeks of comics for you, dear listeners.
Yeah.
Rodrigo is now going to talk to us about a comic from the future.
Yeah. This is Nature's Labyrinth number one. I forgot to put the number one on here. Nature's Labyrinth number one from Mad Cave Studios. Writer Zach Thompson, artist Bailey Underwood, which we can start with the art. The art is really amazing in this. We are introduced to a bunch of characters, and all the character designs are like very... they're all like very specific, and it's like you wouldn't get two characters mixed up with each other, which is something that can happen in comics. Our main character, codename The Shield, has gotten on this cruise, and they are heading towards a mysterious island where a mysterious game will be played. We don't get to see a lot of what's going on with that. This is very much a, like, meet the characters, start thinking about, like, what this is going to mean for them. And then, you know, obviously you have your, you do have your first thing where one of the characters is like, no, I'm not doing this. This is terrible. And walks out and somebody blows up KG Beast, right? So, but it's not the Russian that gets blown up in this one. It is, it's pretty interesting. It's just kind of getting you started into this. The main character is like a very tall, like buff lady, which I was not expecting. But she's super cool. And she, by the end, we kind of find out, at least we find out who put her up to this, who she's working for. I'll give this 3.5 slices of meatloaf. It's really good. Again, the art is very cool. And although I still kind of don't know where they're going, or, you know, it's like, I know the premise, but where exactly this is going to go is not evident, not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, I would say definitely check it out if you're into that. You know, like most dangerous game type genre, which is a thing. I would include like the Hunger Games into, you know, where like people watch people be put through the ringer, sometimes like literally.
Avengers Arena, Squid Games.
Yep. All that stuff. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Very, very cool. That comes out next week, Mad Cave Studios. So go check that out. And I want to thank everyone who does everything they can to support the show, whether you're just a weekly listener or someone that goes out and shares clips with your friends, posts about it on social, tells other people to check it out. Every time you go into the comic book shop, I hope you walk in and say, "What up, people? If you listen to the latest MSP." And if they, and then everyone's like, "Norm," maybe too old of a reference. I don't know. But no, you should be doing that.
A universal reference. It's on, okay. It's on Nick at Night now.
What's Nick at Night?
Shut your
But hey, thank you to everybody who supports this show in other ways, like joining our Patreon community. This week, we're going to get a big shout out to Hasidic Ninja, who upped their pledge. They went from one tier all the way up to another yearly tier level, which is a huge jump. So we thank you for that. He also sent me some messages, or I should say they sent me some messages asking about upcoming Critical Hit stuff. So if you want to know about that, place you want to do that is over on our Patreon community. And you can join our Patreon community for just a few bucks a month. Patreon.com/major spoilers. For less than a gallon of gas, you can support this show for an entire month.
Gallon of gas costs more than my Starbucks coffee right now.
And you shouldn't be drinking Starbucks coffee.
Oh, I love Starbucks coffee. Plus, you know, my kid's a barista, so I get a discount. But even that, one of those coffees, you could hang out at Major Spoilers. You'd have access to everything.
Well,
awesome.
The Patreon.com/Major Spoilers. That's the important thing. All the extra stuff that you get over there, including Critical Hit a week early, the VIP live chat. There is a new VIP live chat coming up this Saturday. We've also got secret channels on our Discord server. And we have the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show where we spend, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or so talking about other stuff, 15, 30 minutes. Every week. This week, we talked about some of the latest big Hollywood news, including that big James Gunn announcement. We talked about Sam Register. What else did we talk about? Oh, Dwayne
The Rock
Johnson.
I don't know if
Johnson.
It made it to the final cut, but we talked about my birth weight.
Yeah, we talked about Matthew being born.
Yeah.
So you can catch, I mean, if that's what you're into.
Covered a lot.
We covered a lot from birth to James Gunn, all in one pre-show. You can get that over at patreon.com/major spoilers. And we'll give you a shout out. If you join up today, next week, your name could be all over the place, just like Hasidic Ninja. There you go. Okay, so this week's trade was supposed to be last week, but it's still spooky season, so I guess we can still talk about Ghostbusters Crossing Over. This is from Eric Burnham and Dan Schoening. This is IDW Publishing. This is one of those series where I think that IDW has heralded and been the shepherd of many fine IP stories. Granted, they didn't start with Sonic the Hedgehog, but I think they've done a fine job with Sonic the Hedgehog. They didn't start with G.I. Joe, but what they did with G.I. Joe is fantastic. Now, G.I. Joe is leaving at the end of this month, I want to say, or no, it's at the end of this year with issue 300. I'm going to guess that Marvel will be picking up that property soon after. But they've done amazing things with that. They've done amazing things with Transformers. They've done amazing things with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And they've done some very amazing things with the Ghostbusters property, doing crossovers with the Transformers so that we get Ecto-1 as a Transformer. We've had the Ghostbusters from various television shows and incarnations all team up through various portals. They've expanded upon the lore of what it means to be a Ghostbuster and have Ghostbuster franchises all across the United States. And this is kind of the culmination of a lot of those different stories that have been told over the last, I want to say, decade, probably, where we have literally Ghostbusters from Ghostbusters, the animated series, not the real Ghostbusters. Although that would have been nice.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they could have gotten those in there.
Yeah, that would have been, what a coup that would have been to get like
Larry Storch and Chuck Connors.
Yes.
And a guy in a monkey suit. Yes.
Yes. That would have been the thing, right?
There was that Filmation cartoon. Right. They could have gotten that.
Yep.
Yeah, that was actually an adaptation of the show that Stevens written on.
Yeah.
We're old. We're a thousand years old.
They've got several incarnations of the animated series Ghostbusters in this, plus some that we've not seen before. Plus the movie versions of the Ghostbusters, plus the Ghostbusters, what is that? Not Afterlife.
Answer the Call.
Answer the Call Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters, all team up to have a great big adventure. And I thought this was the first time they all teamed up. No, this is like the second time they've all had these team ups before. So everybody kind of knows everybody, so we don't have to deal with the whole, you look like me, no, you look like me moments, and let's fight. This is just them trying to take down a big bad that is stealing Ecto energy from across the multi dimensions. And they have to go and find these ghosts and bring them back before the entire universe blows up.
Yeah. There's
I hated this.
I did too. Oh, thank God. There is a point in here where two Egons who are visually identical.
Yeah, I think they're both from the two different versions of the animated series.
I believe it's one is the Egon from the real Ghostbusters and one is the Egon from Ghostbusters Extreme.
Yeah.
Are having a conversation back and forth.
And one of them's dead. So one of them has dead and has come back from another mold. I don't know. It's very confusing when you haven't read all of the Ghostbusters stuff.
And that does bring up the biggest problem for me of this. The Ghostbusters with which I am familiar, like the Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis Ghostbusters, are rendered in the IDW Ghostbusters comic book style.
Right.
Which is to say that they're relatively stylized and cartoonish because they clearly don't have the likeness rights for Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Bill Murray at all, but they have a particular look. And so these characters, the prime dimension Ghostbusters, are supposed to be the guys that, you know, Steven and I watched when we were 14, but they actually look more cartoony than the characters from the cartoon. I know. And it's like, I remember when Extreme Ghostbusters came out in the year, I don't know, 1955, thinking how this felt very cartoony, especially Kylie's design feels very cartoony. And they're, you know, mentored by a cartoon Egon with a blonde rat tail. And at one point in this, you see the characters interacting and Kylie is interacting with someone who's supposed to be Bill Murray. And I'm like, wait, no, what? It was so hard to keep things straight because of that fact, because I'm like, okay, wait, this is a cartoon Ghostbuster? No, this is apparently Prime Winston.
Well, and seriously, though, props to them for maintaining all of the styles, right? So instead of being like, okay, well, this is in this Ghostbuster book, people are drawn this way, so we're going to just take those designs and basically render them in this way. It's like, no, the characters from the real Ghostbusters cartoon look like cartoons from the early 90s, you know, like they, yeah. It's those exact same designs. The Extreme Ghostbusters look, maybe they weren't, but they still give off this feeling like they were inked with like a Sharpie somebody took a bite out of, you know, mm-hmm. they just have like, you know, just like, ah, oh, look at this grunge.
Those ragged edges. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's so edgy from the 90s. So all of these characters have that going on. So kudos to them. And also, interestingly, because again, the prime Ghostbusters are drawn in this very cartoon way, but the answer right. to the call Ghostbusters, who are also humans, you know, and not cartoon characters, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. aren't drawn in that style. They're drawn in their own style, which makes you think that maybe there was a comic for them in which they were drawn in this style.
And I think this may be part of the problem with this trade is I know at one point there were a couple of Ghostbuster series going on simultaneously. I want to say like there may have been two or three series going on simultaneously. There are parts of this book that feel like I'm missing a chapter, and to get that chapter, I have to go read another series. But these were the ones that were part of the like Crisis on Infinite Earths. You get 12 issues and there's parts of it that don't make sense because sure, I need to go read that Aquaman issue that this tied into. And there are definite moments like when the big bad shows up or when somebody suddenly gets injured and you're like, wait a minute, how did this person get injured? And I feel like there's part of the story that's just missing in this. And that was part of my big frustration. So, yeah, I think that there was another, or at least these characters appeared in previous Ghostbusters books that maybe standalone stories.
Yeah, not only that, but they actually, because it's like plot relevant, they actually have to reference their crossover with the Ninja Turtles. Like it actually comes up a couple times where they don't say Ninja Turtles, but they definitely make an allusion to like green mutant teens or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the villains or the ghosts have apparently been ones that either showed up on the cartoon or showed up in the IDW series, you know, and, you know, at one point, a character who I believe is one of the kids from Extreme Ghostbusters, but may actually be one of the interns in the regular Ghostbusters IDW cartoon, does this riff where he's playing chess with Death.
Yeah.
And we're introduced to Death, and Egon is like, I was afraid of that. It's Death. And I'm like, well, okay, that's scary and all, but why, what, how is Death a ghost? And where is Bill and Ted? But I don't know.
So halfway, like maybe more than halfway through, this piece starts to click for me. Like when it's kind of like, hey, we messed up. Basically, we lost about 17 liters worth of ghosts. And we need to like put them back in or else the universe is going to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go through, everybody gets into their teams and they go through, and when they get there, they're all scrambled.
Yeah.
And so you have, you know, the real, like each team is one character from the real Ghostbusters, one character from the Extreme Ghostbusters, one character from the Prime Ghostbusters, one character from the Answer the Call Ghostbusters. There's like a team that gets done right away that's like a bunch of like JRPG sprite Ghostbusters, a golem and a robot. And those are like, that's like the most effective team that they put together. So once that happens and you see all of these characters that you might have some attachment to, like I have attachment to the Prime Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, and the Extreme Ghostbusters, because I actually watched that when it started coming out. So I'm like, I know these characters. Oh, and actually the Answer the Call Ghostbusters. I like that movie. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole group here that are like Ghostbusters that dress up like maintenance workers. I do not know those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's like at least one whole other group of Ghostbusters besides that. And like eight Slimers.
Yeah.
Right. So once you get there and you see these guys interacting with each other and you're like, oh, what would Venkman say to one of the extreme Ghostbusters? He would say this, ha ha, classic Venkman. You know, right. It's like, it does kind of start to gel, but this is like, again, like either half, like as late as two thirds of the way through of this collection is when like this starts happening. And you get these like, you know, maybe dream team ups of Ghostbusters that you've been wanting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I think that that's probably kind of part of the problem with something as large as this IP. Certainly you can go down the rabbit hole of which G.I. Joe is this or which Transformers is this? Is this a Beast Wars Transformer? Is this a, you know, original 80s series Transformer? What's going on here? Certainly you can do that. And I think Ghostbusters certainly suffers from this just like those other properties because it has been around for so long. Like Matthew said, 82, 83, 84, when the first Ghostbusters movies dropped for me, I watched the first Ghostbusters movie. I watched this. I'll admit that I watched the second Ghostbusters movie. I watched the Afterlife and I watched the other one? The women one.
Answer the Call.
Answer the Call. I know you've said it multiple times.
And I
like that one. I liked all those just fine. I watched the Ghostbusters with Larry Storch back in the day. I did not watch the animated series of that. But I also watched the very first animated Ghostbusters series, and that's it. Anything that came after that animated series Ghostbusters, except for the two live action movies recently, I've got no connection to. And so getting into this is very hard. And I realize some of this stuff may be just be comic book stuff, but I kind of walked into this kind of like the first time I tried to read Crisis on Infinite Earths or the time I tried to read read a Marvel comic, read an X-Men comic, for God's sake, back in the 90s. It was just like, I have no idea what's going on. They're so deep. There's so much stuff that I am missing out on. This should be a really good, fun thing where people are like, oh, yeah, I remember the Ghostbusters and Answer the Call and Afterlife and all this stuff. Yeah, let me just jump into this. And no, this is just like, this is not that. This is like, you need a PhD in Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusterology.
Yes. Yeah. In order to really know what's going on.
The thing that keeps popping up for me it may be 2 years ago now, Stephen and I reviewed, and I think it's an IDW book. It was a Star Wars crossover with the crew of the original series, Deep Space Nine, Next Generation, and Voyager.
That wouldn't be Star Wars. That'd be Star Trek, but yeah.
Yeah, Star Wars. You know, Star Wars with Captain Kirk.
And Star Wars, they fight the wars in the space.
Right. All of the Star Wars characters, you know, from the various spaceships.
The United Planets. Yeah, everybody.
The Trek Wars, guys. Okay.
They dress like birds that they fight.
The four crews of those prime Star Trek series at the time met up. They all teamed up, and then they broke up into sets where they mixed and matched everybody. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you got a team that was like led by Sisko, but he had like Sulu, Uhura, and Odo. You know, so you get that. It feels like the same kind of structure here. And while we do get really interesting moments, like two Winstons, like Prime Winston and real Ghostbusters Winston interacting and realizing that their lives are different, that's cool, but it also brings up the question of why are their lives different? Is there something that means
you should have been reading all those other series? That's what it means.
And that's kind of the thing. I am the guy who comes in and says, I'm going to read all of this. I'm the guy who walks into, you know, like that Star Trek book where, you know, the villains were what, the Orgonians? Yeah. And the kid who wasn't a Q and the kid who was a Q and Charlie X. And I'm like, okay, I can parse this all together. But this series was just like madness to me. Because also,
yeah, have you watched all the Ghostbusters animated stuff? Have you seen the grand Ghostbusters oeuvre?
I have seen a lot of real Ghostbusters. I have a working knowledge and have seen a couple of episodes of Extreme Ghostbusters. Because I remember the goth girl and the cool radical kid, the wheelchair user. Yeah, the wheelchair user, the radical kid. I remember him.
One of them is voiced by Carlton from The Fresh Prince.
Yeah. But you do kind of have that entry point issue where I'm not saying that if I can't wrap my head around this, that a normal person is going to run screaming from the room. But that's not necessarily so far beyond the point that I'm trying to make here, because there's a really important emotional beat here where Winston apparently has like a proton pack fist.
Yes.
And one of the big bads apparently hurt Winston or tortured Winston or something. And it's something about, he says, they knocked years off of my life. And Winston gets this moment that is clearly a big emotional win at the end and just jacks this ghost right in the face. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that moment is. And while I'm sitting here and seeing, you know, the headless horseman dragging Venkman away and feeling like, I feel like I know that headless horseman ghost, but it wasn't with cartoon Venkman. You know, I feel like I'm Charlie Day trying to figure out exactly who Pete Sylvester is. And I don't know. It makes this book work. It made it feel like huge amounts of work. And also a golem. Where's the golem from? Do you even know?
I have no idea. It's got to be, I'm sure it's something to do with one of the comic books. Because again, this apparently is not the first time, as they reference in the comic, this is not the first time all of us have teamed up to do a multi-universe story. And it's like, oh, this isn't? Then why do they make it sound like this is a first time event? also, heads up for people that are scrambling madly trying to find this comic. Good luck, because it is not available anywhere. In fact, if you go over to the Amazon and you try to find it in a trade, out of print. You go and try to find the single issues, you got to buy them from some shady guy named Sven. You know, not the good guy Sven. That's our
not
friend.
Not Sven Pillman.
No,
Sven
Jorgensen.
No.
Sven,
you can't trust Sven Jorgensen.
Sven Bad Guy. That's his last name. Is Bad Guy. Sven Bad Guy.
Oh, Bad Guy.
Yeah,
he's even worse.
Of the Norwegian bad guys.
Sven Jorgensen will steal your car, but Sven Bad Guy. He'll steal it from Sven.
He'll buy it from.
So that's how bad.
So maybe we are protecting you because we have the review copy that IDW sent us all the way back in 2018. And that's what we're using. But yeah, this thing's not available for print. And I don't know why. It could be that I think they're still doing. Well, no, I haven't seen any Ghostbuster stuff. So it could be that there's a no more licensed stuff. And that's why we're not reprinting it. It could be that there's likeness rights. It could just be that this is a bad story and nobody wants it, kind of issue. And nothing against Eric Burnham or Dan Schoening, as we said, with the art, being consistent with all of these properties and keeping their looks consistent, even when you have the multiple properties on the same page at the same time, is, it's baller. It's like, you deserve a round of applause for keeping all of that straight. And I'm sure your therapy bill is quite high, and hopefully IDW picked it up after that. And Eric Burnham, you're doing the best you can with what you're given, and I don't have any problem with that. I just think, for me, who doesn't have the PhD in ghostbusting, is that it is too hard for me to get into this. I feel like I need to have probably six trades of primer material to read before I were to tackle this book.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, that's why I can't recommend this book.
I feel like the fact that it ties into the Ghostbusters International series from like 2016, and the fact that it ties into heavy duty continuity of the IDW primary Ghostbusters book, which again is supposed to be, but is really, really hard to pretend is the same as the prime Ghostbusters, trilogy. Because it's hard, especially if you've seen that third one. Now, granted, that third one came out after this, so they had no way of knowing what was happening in there. So I can't fault them for that. But it really is something where I joke sometimes about how you got to have a scorecard to read Legion of Superheroes. This book, you need multiple scorecards, and you need somebody like holding them up and making sure who is who, because there are points in here where I look at the story and I'm like, okay, I don't know who's talking, but they're cell shaded. So they've got something to do with a blonde, with Bill Murray, Peter Venkman, but no, wait, he's not. He's voiced by Carlton, your doorman. So, it's a whole dish. I'm tired.
Rodrigo, you said it was the last two thirds of the book, you got into it and you liked it, but did you like the entire thing?
Honestly, I hadn't gotten to the part at which it had gelled by last Tuesday, which is when we're going to first record this.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Steven was like, I feel bad, I was like, thank God.
I am so dead right now. I think I should be like, Ghostbuster.
I was like, oh, good. I don't have to read the rest of this. And then he's like, we're doing this next week. And I'm like, ah.
I felt really bad about that, too, because I read this and I was just like full of hate and rage and flu vaccine. And I was just like, I don't like this. And then unfortunately, I was like, oh, God, good. I'm sick. And then I was like, but I made everybody read this and I feel bad about making you read this. And it's so bad. And then we're not going to discuss it, which is why I said, let's just go ahead and bump everything forward a week and discuss it anyway.
There's a lot of fun stuff in here. I kind of had theoretical fun with it in the sense that there were a lot of cool shout outs and stuff. There's a thing that shows up at the end where a ghost is kind of being accosting one of the characters. That ghost is a policeman who looks like a policeman, except then his head goes into his body and his eyes pop out of his chest, like where his like little like double pockets should be. That's a toy from the Ghostbusters line. There was like that guy and like the old lady who had a Cyclops eye. Like I had some of those toys, and seeing that was cool. I'm like, oh, look, they brought that cute toy, or horrifying toy as you might prefer, into the continuity. That's fun. But the actual events of what happens are kind of barely any fun. There needs to be a lot of time talking, a lot of time explaining. A lot of the time it's hard to tell exactly what's going on because there are like literally 100 Ghostbusters in this. Mm-hmm. Like there are just so many characters, so many things to keep track of, who's with, so who's in whose team. And then also on top of all that, the point of this is that it's advancing the IDW Prime Ghostbusters story. Mm-hmm. So that has to be like frustrating no matter what, right? Either you are in it to see these kind of birdie mouth Ghostbusters advance their story, but there's all these other Ghostbusters in the way, or you're in here to see, you know, the only other time that we're ever going to see the Answer the Call Ghostbusters doing something. And I mean, one of them gets to wreck the universe, so that's fun, but that's kind of a bright point in what is otherwise kind of like a generally foggy, soupy, set of plots.
The stuff that I wanted to see, like Prime Egon and Jillian Holtzman playing off each other, it's briefly touched on, but I don't know. I'm tired. It's a very long topic.
I cannot find anything official. That says when IDW lost Ghostbusters or if they've lost the Ghostbusters franchise. They may not. But the last thing that I can find on the Ghostbusters wiki is something that was the Ghostbusters year one that was in January of 2020. But I don't see an official announcement. IDW did say that they were losing the G.I. Joe and Transformers stuff.
Yes.
They said that those contracts were ending. You know, just recently they announced that. But they didn't. They still haven't said as of January of this year anything about the Ghostbusters franchise, which is also, I believe, Hasbro, isn't that who does the toys on Ghostbusters toys?
Do they own the franchise though?
I don't know. But seeing how G.I. Joe and Transformers also maybe licensed to that, I don't know.
Hasbro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those are Hasbro toys.
Yeah. And yeah.
So I don't know. We haven't seen anything in 2 years from this. Ghostbusters Crossing Over was 2018, released in trade in 2019. Ghostbusters 2020/20, one shot 20 years in the future. Then Ghostbusters 35th anniversary, which is a original team, the real Ghostbusters, the Answer the Call Busters, and the Extreme Ghostbusters team up again. Oh my goodness! And then there was a Transformers Ghosts of Cybertron. That's the one that featured Ecto-1, and that was a big deal because it was a toy tie-in. And then Ghostbusters Year One, which is 4-issue miniseries, published January 2020. And of course, then everything went into lockdown. That was supposed to cover the events shortly after the first film. And then that was it. And there hasn't been any Ghostbusters since then.
The Ghostbusters franchise belongs to Columbia Pictures Ghost Corp.
Oh, there you go.
Which is, of course, owned by Sony Pictures.
Ah, okay. Well,
So I don't know what moves Spider-Man Sony is making. Yeah. Could be that Sony is looking to reposition them somewhere.
When did Afterlife come out?
Afterlife came out in 2020.
So yeah, maybe Sony said we're going to do more, because I know that there's a second Afterlife. I know that there's a second Afterlife movie that they're working on.
Right.
So maybe they're like, we don't want you to do any more comic books until we've got our movie stuff.
Maybe they want to center those Ghostbusters as
speculation on nerd part, ladies and gentlemen. No official news. All speculation.
I want to say that IDW had something about their last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles story too, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know anything about that. I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is doing just fine.
I don't know. I read something, and then I remember G.I. Joe, because I'm hoping that they get to G.I. Joe 300.
Yeah, no, 300 is
Larry Hama finish his thing.
300 is the last issue on that. So when that one's out, that's the end of that. And then my guess is Marvel will pick that up.
I've actually heard that Skybound is in the running, so Bob Kirkman may want.
No, that'd be good if they wanted that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it wouldn't surprise me if Marvel did it.
So. Yeah, this is again all speculation. I don't know nothing about nothing.
All I know is that every property that IDW has lost in the last 3 years, Marvel has quietly just said, we are also doing this property now. We are also doing the Star Wars now. We are also, I forget the other one.
IDW didn't have Star Wars. Dark Horse did.
No, they had, they were doing that Star Wars Adventures, remember? That's no longer at IDW. That's over at Marvel. Yeah,
I thought that was all Dark Horse. They're doing it to everybody.
Nope.
That's castle stuff. Weird.
That's what happened was with these conglomerates is they decide to reposition things, and no matter where you are in a storyline, it's like, okay, that's it, it's over. We're moving this thing over here, or you know, we don't want to do anything with this right now. So instead of, you know, doing a thing that you're taking in some direction, we're just like, we don't want to do any, you know, like Doctor, what's that? New character,
Doctor Who.
The new character, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Brand new Star Wars character, Doctor Who.
Dr. Aphra, is who you think of.
Yeah, that Aphra, that's what it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem, as you said exactly, Rodrigo, with big conglomerates. So once upon a time, ladies and gentlemen, all the comic book publishers had their hand in the Disney pie. We had Gemstone doing the Disney comics. You had at one point Boom Studios doing the Pixar movie stuff, like the Cars, and they also had regular Disney stuff, like Beauty and the Beast and Muppet stuff. They had that. And then IDW was doing some of the Star Wars stuff, especially the stuff that was more kid friendly. For that, Dark Horse had Star Wars comics proper for decades. Of course, Marvel had it first, and then Dark Horse got it. But then,
Dark Horse was like reprinting old Marvel ones too.
Yeah, they were also doing that. Yeah. Then one day Disney just said, hey, everybody, we bought up Lucasfilm. And then, oh, by the way, we're also going to get Marvel Studios in this deal. And oh, by the way, and they didn't make a big announcement of it, but suddenly all those Boom Studios licenses ended. And I'm not saying that Disney came and said, we're taking them away. These licenses ended, and the corporations decided we're not going to renew our contract with your publisher. Instead, they took all these titles and said, well, Marvel, since we own a comic book company, I'm not saying they did this, but this is what it appeared to be from the outside. Marvel, you guys do comics. Why don't you just do our Disney comics? And they're like, yes, we'll do Big Thunder Mountain and Haunted Mansion and all this stuff. And those things lasted like 3 issues. And then Marvel was like, yeah, we ain't doing these kiddie comics.
We can't do this.
Yeah.
We don't know how to do this.
They did get back that Star Wars line from Dark Horse, and they've been doing very well with that over at Marvel, but no one is doing like Disney Pixar stuff anymore. IDW was going to do some stuff and then they didn't. Boom Studios never got that stuff back. Dark Horse hasn't gotten any of that stuff back. There's no Muppets comics coming out. And I think that that's kind of a, you know, I'll say it. I think that that's a bad thing when those comics, which I, you know, we'd have to talk to somebody at Boom, but I bet that the, and also IDW, feel free to send me an anonymous email. I would bet that the licensing that they were paying to Disney for that, I bet they were still making money off those comics. I don't think that they were losing money on those comics. Same way when we look at G.I. Joe and Transformers and Ghostbusters and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I bet that IDW is making some money on that stuff. Maybe not a lot of money, but sure, they're still keeping those brands alive. And when you think about the Ecto-1 and the Transformers, G.I. Joe, I forget what that vehicle was, and the Back to the Future vehicle that Hasbro put out as part of that, IDW is part of that because they had to make the comics for that stuff and make it work. Yeah. And so, I feel bad that Hasbro or whoever has decided not to renew the G.I. Joe and the Transformers line. I realize that there's been some controversy with some creators and what they did with G.I. Joe and Transformers that may have put IDW in a bad spot. But I think that was some bad actors doing some bad things. I don't like seeing really well-established properties being lost at publishers that are doing well with them. Again, I think that Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters, all these things that we've been talking about, IDW has been doing a fine job of it. Now, they haven't been, gangbuster stuff like maybe their Star Trek stuff is, but 300 issues of G.I. Joe with Larry Hama, that stuff's gold, man. I don't know. I mean, I'm going on a rant here, and I'm still probably recovering from illnesses. But I'm sorry that IDW has lost these things. I think it makes it harder for small publishers to stay in business when they don't have these recognizable properties for comic book readers to pick up.
Right.
Yeah. Agreed.
End of rant. That being said, don't buy Ghostbusters crossover because it is horrible. See, I've tried to be fair and balanced here. I'm trying to be fair and balanced here, Matthew.
Maybe look into whatever trade comes before this one, because definitely this is jumping into the middle of a story.
Agreed.
Or jumping into part two of a story.
It's jumping into the middle of four different stories.
Yeah, it just feels like that. So just be aware of that if you're going to get into it. And certainly just realize that there are other comics out there besides what's coming from DC and Marvel, and go check out some other comic publishers. We did that this week just in our reviews. For example, I read something from Marvel and Matthew read something from DC Comics, and Rodrigo did the right thing and read something from Mad Cave Studios. So there's all sorts of stuff out there just waiting for you to consume it. And that's where we're going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you, dear listener. If you found value in the show, if you had some fun, if you had some laughs, if you got some education out of this, we would love for you to join us over on our Patreon page, where you'll find even more fun, including, as I mentioned earlier, the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show, where we talk Werewolf by Night. Oh, no, we did it at the top of this show. It's so hard to keep the two separate nowadays. They just flow right into
it. We talked about my birth weight.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you want to have the best Major Spoilers podcast experience, really join the Patreon and then listen to the pre-show and then right into this show. And I know some people do that. They actually wait a day until this show comes out so they can listen to the pre-show and this show together back to back, because it just does make a more complete experience. And it's almost like you're getting an hour and a half of show instead of an hour's worth of show. And so we hope you can find some time and find some little bit of funding of your own to join us over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Next week, we're going to keep with the spooky and the scary, because Scott Johnson is going to be back as we hit issue 1000. We're going to be talking about Ghosted in L.A. That's a series from Boom Studios. We're going to be talking about that next week on the Major Spoilers podcast. Why? Because we know that you love comics. We do, too. And we will talk with you soon.
Bad the X-ray vision of Superman. I could save a few bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the stand. But although every other page would be backwards, I suppose I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic bookstore guy knew, he kicked my butt out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Find a better way. If I was Hulking green or gray, I could just bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little meat would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you ever tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would I back and board my comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. What a major operates like a man of iron. Might not be surprised to find that I might actually have the heart cold to follow an entire storyline. Would I really even need to read up on all those escapades? I mean, who needs such distractions when your sister's such a babe? But the downside is such a beast. Being shot up in a fun bee in the Middle East with a King Santo and soldier. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a major spoiler. Whoa, 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 whoa. What a major spoiler.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.